Washington, D.C. What up, everybody? What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wad Radio on 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 a.m., 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We've got a big show planned for you guys today on a Saturday morning, June 27. We will bring on Sebastian Salazar to talk about Team USA at the World Cup. He'll join us at 10:30. 11:30, Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports, all things Washington Wizards, says there's really so much going on in the sports world. I've got to be honest with you guys. If you've been listening to this show, you know every day I check my temperature and I have severe World Cup fever. I'm just loving the action every single day. I wondered, would we get a watered-down tournament with 48 teams? Now, I would not say no to 64. I just feel like every nation has showed up, played their part. It's been so exciting. Match day three is always fun because it's filled with craziness. Both games kicking off at the exact same time. Unfortunately for Team USA, their path to the final got a lot more difficult with the results last night. U.S. will face Bosnia. We knew that. But Belgium came from basically towards the bottom of their group in third place with a huge victory to jump all the way up to first. That will be our round of 16 opponent. A rematch against the Belgians. This time no Tim Howard, though, to stand on his head in goal for Team USA. Are we better than when we lost to the Belgians 12 years ago? Spain is set up to be our matchup in the quarterfinals if things hold. France in the semifinals. It's not going to be easy, but I do not like the word impossible used by Tim Howard. We have seen this team play the best football of their lives, at least of my life, watching Team USA at the World Cup. Feel like they have a chance every game with this lineup, with this group, this manager who makes tactical changes. And Christian Pulisic, Captain America, now healthy. I truly believe he can lift us to feats we've never reached before is if he's at its best. If Christian Pulisic is putting the ball in the back of the net like he's done for Milan, like he did for Chelsea, like he's done throughout his entire career in Europe against European stars, he can lead Team USA pretty far in this tournament. It all starts Wednesday against Bosnia in the knockout round. The summer cruises on, and the Washington Nationals in Baltimore for the Beltway Series. Gotta snap this losing streak here. It kind of really spoiled the fun we were all having. I mean, I started to legit watch Nats games every single night as they last week got three games above 500. And then the bullpen, just blow it up. Get rid of everybody. My goodness. I was embarrassing the loss to the Phillies there over and over again, heartbreaking fashion, late in games. The Caps and the Wiz, man, they have been so active in their offseason so far. And that's where I want to start today. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Or tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. So this season, the players are highlighted, right? In the season, we're all talking about Jaden Daniels. In the season, we're talking about the players that are on the field. The offseason, it's for the front office, right? That's the difference. The offseason, every move is highlighted for the front office. And currently, three of our four DC sports teams are in the middle of the offseason. So I wanted to revisit some offseason front office power rankings because I personally have changed my order, and I think I might get some people to disagree with me on this one, but four DC sports teams, four front offices I actually trust because they've made changes in the last 10 years here. And look, the Wizards are the ones that I think have done everything that they have set their mind to doing, and they're not going to get enough credit until people see the wins. So DC Sports front offices power rankings for AWOD here. I'm going to put the Nats fourth because it's a new front office with Paul Toboni, Blake Blueterre taking over as the manager. Haven't made a big move yet in my mind. This is going to be the big move around the trade deadline. Do they deal C.J. Abrams? What do they do to help out with the relief pitching to bring in more arms for this team here? I'm going to put them fourth. I love where they're at right now. Now, this last three nights obviously changed my mind a little bit because it's just embarrassing to lose in that fashion. But they haven't made a big move yet. I do think that Mike Rizzo should be getting credit for this team and the record they're at right now, because it's a lot of his dogs, his guys, the moves that he made. I haven't seen that front office make a major move yet. Number three, I would go with the Washington Capitals. They're swinging big. They're swinging big. It looks like this is a team that's trying to make one last run. I've been telling my friends I would give up a playoff spot to see one more year of Ovechkin, to get one more chance to go see him in person at Capital One Arena or see him on the road and just witness greatness. And really, the goal is to get one more real playoff run with Ovi and have him a chance to lift one more Stanley Cup. But if you're telling me he hurts the franchise so much, taking ice time away from others, that we'd miss the playoffs, I would say, fine, I want one more year of Ovi. So I like that the front office for the Caps is swinging big, and they've made two big moves already, but I'm putting them at three. Two, I'm going with the Washington Commanders and Adam Peters. The most success of my lifetime with the conference championship appearance. The big test is this season. I believe in Adam Peters. I have some people that get upset with me on Twitter. I can't believe you believe in Adam Peters. And I'm like, well, where the hell were you when Bruce Allen was here and Scott McLuhan was here? Because you weren't chatting back then. Because I don't know how you can be angry with anything Adam Peters has done when you just look at the guy he replaced, right? He's been so much better. And I get it. This past season sucked. But I'm not blaming Adam Peters for that. I'm really blaming the injuries. So he's given us the most success of my lifetime. This is the big test this season. I really do think that he drafts well and hasn't gotten the credit for it yet because these guys haven't developed. But I do think behind the scenes, Luke McCaffrey is really coming on strong, and I think he's going to have a big season. It's going to be a test for like guys like Johnny Newton and Ben Sinnott, because right now they kind of look like busts of the Adam Peters era. But the guys that he's brought in, he believes in, I believe in them, and I think the Commanders will have a successful season this year. But number one, in terms of front office trust in the front office, I'm going with the Wizards because I truly believe they have done everything that they've set their mind out to do. This is a front office that took over for an awful, awful general manager who took over for an even worse general manager. My entire life, the Wizards have been ran by people that it seems like didn't know what they were doing. And finally, Ted Leonsis, the moment where he, moment of clarity, decides to let basketball people make basketball decisions. And I fully believe in this front office because everything that they have tried to do, they have achieved. All right? From trading an untradeable contract. Nobody talks about that anymore. They traded an untradeable contract. They've brought in two former All-Stars. Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have completely turned around this roster. It wasn't one lucky signing. It wasn't one lucky pick. They have done their due diligence. They have done their research. They have put together a roster. They have done a great job with roster assembly. And it starts with the strong second-round picks they've made, but also, of course, the lottery picks, and to achieve the ultimate goal of getting the number one overall pick, right? First time in nearly 10 years that you look at a Wizards roster where 10 guys are going to be competing that all deserve a roster spot. The front office deserves credit for that. And they all have bright futures. It's very exciting. It's a roster that's not going to have one good season and fade out, right? It's a roster that should improve every single year from here on out. This Washington Wizards front office, they will get their flowers next season. They will get their flowers in the middle of the season if they're one of the top five teams in the East. Everyone will be talking about it. I'm giving it out now because I see the vision. I absolutely am fully bought in. I think it's incredible how they are playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. And A.J. DeBonsta is the big name, and he's the number one overall pick. But it's Michael Winger and Will Dawkins and all of the moves that they've made. And also, they didn't make it so that, like I'm saying, it's going to be a one-year thing. This is a team that should be together for the future. Maybe not Trae Young and AD, but AJ DeBonsta with Trey Johnson, Bob Carrington, Will Riley, Keyshawn George, Bilal Coulibaly. That is the future of Wizards basketball. And again, this is my personal trust in these front offices. And the fact that I've looked up the 2023 roster when they got here. It is one of the worst basketball rosters I've ever seen. It's garbage. Nobody, half that roster is out of the league. And they've turned it into a full 10-man rotation with even an 11th or a 12th guy that are going to be exciting. It's so impressive. It's so impressive. And you could be a Trae Young hater, all right, but watch out for him this year. I think he's going to be one of the most determined basketball players in the league to go out there and prove people wrong. And you can be an Anthony Davis non-believer. And it's hard for me to believe that he'll stay healthy for 50-plus games. But Anthony Davis has a chance to change his legacy in the NBA. He's right now viewed as a star that broke down and never had a real second chapter of his career. Right, he's got the New Orleans chapter that concludes with the bubble title in LA with the Asterisks, and then traded to Dallas for Luka, and Luka's now the future of the Lakers, and then his Dallas career ended, and it was viewed as one of the worst trades in Dallas, right? This is his chance for a part two. He's got to commit to this team, and all reports are that he's excited with what they've been building here. So you've got an all-star in Anthony Davis, an all-star in Trae Young, a number one overall pick in AJ DeBonsta. This is a front office that has revamped the entire roster. I'm telling you guys, you heard it here first. Will Dawkins, Michael Winger will get national attention by the all-star break of this season. I'm giving them their flowers now. That is the number one front office that I trust most in Washington, D.C. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. What up, it's AWOD. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. It's been a fun week, a huge week for the future of the Washington Wizards. And, I mean, following along on social media, it almost felt like it was a victory parade with the Washington Wizards introducing AJ DeBonsta to the DC audience, the monster DeBonsta out of BYU coming to Washington. I absolutely cannot wait to see him play for Washington, not just in the summer league, but in a regular season game. But then the next day, John Wall with his court dedication. I mean, it just felt like a victory parade in DC, and I guess it's because Ted Leonsis finally did something right. He hired Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, and that has really paid off so well. Getting the number one overall pick has a chance to change your franchise forever. A chance to alter the future history of your team. For Wizards fans and AJ, this draft signaled a new beginning. A new beginning for the kid from Brockton, Massachusetts, and I think it's a new beginning for the Washington Wizards as well. AJ was number three, said he wanted a new beginning, and he was the number one overall pick, so he would wear number four. And I was trying to think about, really, how excited I am for the future of the Washington Wizards and comparing it to some of the past teams that I've been excited for. And nothing from the Bradley Beal, John Wall era compares, to be honest. It doesn't. As much as I love John Wall, I don't feel the same about Bradley Beal. I love John Wall. I love what he did for the community. Bradley Beal gave us some good moments. I was never that through the moon for them and feeling like we have a chance to achieve greatness. The most excited I've been, I actually went back to 2005. Gilbert Arenas' game winner against the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs. And that next year we went into the season with a big three. We thought was legit. Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, and the last great number four, Anton Jameson. 21 years later, Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and the new big three with the new number four equals AJ DeBonsta. Super excited. Complete roster, a deep bench, young rising stars, and they are under contract. But let's focus in on this number one pick for a second, because every time he talks, I love to hear him speak. I love his maturity. I love his excitement for the game. I love everything about this kid. I think the way he plays is going to fill seats. He said that in interviews as well, because his game is exciting, because he puts pressure on the rim, because he's not afraid to take on a double team. Single pressure, that's fine. He's going to put his back to you, back you down, and fade away like he's Michael Jordan. He can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass, he can dunk, he can jump, he can rebound, and I think he's a better defender than he's given credit to. That will continue to grow. That's going to be an effort thing, and learning the NBA style to defend without giving up the three-point shot, right? You want to protect the rim, but you do not want to give up open threes over and over again. He wants to be great, and he's willing to study the tape to be great. He's been watching videos of Tracy McGrady. He mentioned Len Bias, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, his favorite player. It's so wild. I was telling my friends, I think it's like if Kevin Durant and LeBron James had a kid, and that kid had a kid with Tracy McGrady. If Tracy McGrady is one of what AJ ends up being, I will be super excited, because that is one of my favorite players of all time. That is a bucket getter's bucket right there. And we just have not had a talent like this, an athlete like this, a body type that's meant to star in the NBA. As great as John Wall was, he changed the game, it felt like forever, with his speed kills, but he did not have the God-given abilities that AJ has, and that's the difference there. AJ's got the size to tower over people. He might even grow another inch as well. He's got the wingspan, and he's been given the help he needs to succeed. I can think of plenty of talented rookies the NBA has seen. I can think of plenty of guys that came from Europe or came from college with high expectations, and they entered the league, and they grew, and they improved, and they got better, and the team around them never got better. And so it halted their growth, and it prevented them from reaching their potential. We've even seen that in Washington, right? Wall and Beal never got enough help around them. It's true. But there's so many more examples from that. So that's what I feel like isn't getting enough credit about this front office, is they've surrounded AJ Dabonsa with enough pieces to let him be successful, to let him grow into the league. He won't have to do it all. He's got young guys to grow with him. He's already mentioned he played with Trey Johnson. He played with Will Riley, guys he's familiar with, playing with veterans he looked up to in Trey Young and Anthony Davis. And I kind of like that nationally you're getting people questioning Washington, right? Whether it's Stephen A. Smith or Jason Williams, it's lazy reporting. It's lazy journalism. It's lazy ESPN. Some guy talking about a team that they haven't watched in five seasons, couldn't tell you who any members of their front office are. I almost guarantee you they can't name our coach, but they're saying they don't believe in us? I love it. I love it. Can this front office, can this coaching staff turn this team into a winner? I think we're going to prove a lot of people wrong right away. We're going to prove the people wrong that hated on the Trae Young contract, questioning our front office. Prove people wrong that we're even questioning whether AJ was the pick or not. It feels like so many people on this team have a chip on their shoulder. That and the fact that the East is so wide open. The Knicks, yeah, they're going to be good. The rest of the East, feels like everybody is reshuffling the cards right now. So when it comes to Washington getting the number one overall pick, it was the guy I wanted right away. It was the guy that I've actually been watching and had my eye on for basically 2.5 years now. And a guy that I just didn't believe was going to ever come to Washington, because there were so many things that needed to go right. So, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of this front office, right? To find a way to trade for two guys that you can be part of your future, but also are okay with not playing the final 30 games of a season. Like, think about that. Like, they had to actually be very strategic with going to get Trey and going to get Anthony Davis. Because if they went and got guys that actually played, we would have had too many wins and would not have achieved the ultimate goal of tankathon and getting the number one overall pick. Like, that took real effort. That took a real different line of thinking from this front office, something that we're not used to. Like, this is a Wizards team that has tried to get the number one pick overall before, and they haven't been able to do it. But the fact that they also hit on some of their second-round picks, they also hit on some of their non-lottery picks. And now, as Gilbert Arenas pointed out on ESPN, the Washington Wizards find another team that has three 1-1s. Number one overall, first round. And yes, Alex Sarr is the number two. I haven't seen Zachary Richichet make a bucket. Are you kidding me? Alex Sarr is way better than him and would have been the number one. So you think about that. Anthony Davis, number one. Alex Sarr, number one. AJ, a number one. Just like, that's a lot of talent coming together here for a team that has a lot of exciting pieces, and they're going to compete. And all right, for anybody that doesn't believe in Brian Keefe has gotten this team to understand the work ethic it takes to be great in the NBA. And you might not understand that because you don't see it in the games, but behind the scenes, this is a team that went on their vacations and then they got back to work, and they're going to compete, and they're going to go to Summer League and compete, and everybody wants to be part of this roster from man one to man 16 because they believe in this vision here of this front office. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I've just felt like I've seen a great sense of professionalism from AJ DeBonsa, and I want to compare him to another guy we've got in Washington, D.C. Do you guys think that you're seeing similarities with the introduction to AJ DeBonsa from QB1, the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels? I see similarities between AJ DeBonsa and Jaden Daniels. So give me my thoughts on that next on The Fan. Happy Saturday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Call AWOD, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. And I truly believe the scenes on social media were like a victory parade with Washington, D.C. sports fans, Wizards fans gathering to meet the number one overall pick out of BYU via Brockton, Massachusetts, AJ DeBonsa, who comes to Washington. And I just felt like I saw a great sense of professionalism. And I'm saying he's the basketball version of Jaden Daniels. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. AJ tells fans, yeah, I know Wizards fans have been waiting for a long time. Let's take a listen to AJ at the podium getting introduced to Wizards fans.
Like you said, I've been trying to embrace the challenge my whole life. Nothing comes easy, but I want to be a piece of the puzzle that, you know, is part of the rebuild. Obviously, Wizards fans have been waiting for a long time, so, you know, we're trying to make the playoffs, trying to make it far in the playoffs. Like when the first thing Will said, he just said, you don't want to just make the playoffs, you want to go far in the playoffs, and I really felt that. So just want to be a piece of the puzzle. Obviously, probably need a couple more pieces, a couple more practices, maybe a few more years. But, you know, if they trust the process, we can get it far.
Love that answer from AJ. I mean, could he make the conference championship in year one like Jaden Daniels? I mean, absolutely. The Eastern Conference is wide open. But just listening to him talk, hearing his professionalism, his excitement for the future. I mean, that's a guy that wants to get in the lab. Reminds me of Jaden Daniels and his work ethic there, getting up early at 5 a.m. and getting to the building with Cliff Kingsbury before dawn, right? AJ has talked about his grind, 7 a.m. start, 7 p.m. finish, in the lab 6 days a week, you know, twice a day, working out, working in the court, working in the practice facility, but also in the weight room. He's just got this professionalism that really reminds me of Jaden Daniels. The way they were raised, I could be wrong. I don't think we have to worry about AJ DeBonsa partying or drinking too much or going crazy. Like, I lived in an era in Washington, D.C. where I'd go out to Living Room, the club, and I'd see Otto Porter there every night, Friday, Saturday, and then playing a game the next day. I don't think we have to worry about that with AJ. I think that's like the similarities to Jaden Daniels. I don't think we're going to see AJ drunk. I don't think that's going to happen unless we win a championship, all right? His family, his dad, His dad literally talked about how he passed up girlfriends and prom for grinding in the basketball gym, grinding to be great, to be a legend. That didn't remind you of Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, there's just so many similarities there. A smart kid, raised well, really committed to the craft, wants to work, loves the grind, loves getting in the gym. He loves every little aspect, it feels like, of what it takes to be great, right? You got to get up early. You got to stretch. You got to get your morning exercise in. Then you got to get to the lab. You got to work on your jump shot. He's obsessed with the whole prospect of it. He loves every moment of trying to be great. And I also thought his story was so cool about how he didn't always want to be a legend, right? He talked about how it wasn't until he was 14 years old in the middle of COVID when his dad would get him up and drive him an hour and a half to go play with 18 and 19-year-olds, and they'd bust his ass, and he wanted to get better and better and better. And that is just, I think it's so cool how you think about the last 5 years of his life, how much work he's put in, how much he's sacrificed to get to this moment here, to be the number one overall pick. Now, I get it. Jaden Daniels was number two, but Jaden Daniels has a Heisman Trophy. AJ has an NCAA tournament appearance, but just the professionalism from the two, their commitment to the craft, the way they were raised. I'm super excited to watch them in the future, watch them improve, and I do think there's a lot of comparisons between the two. Jaden Daniels just has this speed that's unmatched for a quarterback. AJ just has this athletic ability that's kind of unmatched for a small forward or power forward in the NBA. He is going to have one of the craziest highlights, either his rookie year or his sophomore year. We're going to see him jump out of the gym. I think we're going to see some things that we saw a young LeBron James do. Just take over a game with highlight play after highlight play. Because what he can do, even without the ball in his hands, is exciting. I've seen him crash the glass and have tip-back dunks that are going to just blow people's minds. AJ DeMonsa has a chance to come to Washington and be the greatest Washington Wizard of all time. And that there's a lot of work that he's going to have to put in behind the scenes here. There's no doubt about that. But I fully believe in this kid. This is the most excited I've been in basically 20 years for the Wizards. I love the fact that we have also made it so he doesn't have to do everything. He doesn't have to do everything. He has AJ, has Anthony Davis and Trae Young to lean on first. Then he's got the other guys that are on the rise, like Keyshawn George. Like, there's a chance that AJ sits behind Keyshawn George for a game or two. Well, just because Keyshawn George played so well last year. So well last year. And so you're going to have a full rotation. A full rotation. And so the next step for this plan here for the Washington Wizards front office is, all right, we've got our roster set. Now we've got to work on our rotations. Now we've got to figure out our starting lineup. And I've been arguing about the starting lineup this week with my friends, and it feels like it's the first time in a decade that people want to argue about who should be starting in the Washington Wizards starting five. Nobody wanted to talk about that before. Now we actually have a vision that's been executed by this front office, and I believe that there's a starting five here in Washington that's going to be super exciting. So my starting five is a little different than others, and I'll tell you why. John Wall, who was great on 106.7 The Fan and on YouTube on draft night at the party, they made the pick, and he goes immediately, my starting five, Trae Young, Keyshawn George, AJ DeBonsa, Anthony Davis, Alex Saar. And that's an exciting starting five. I'm making one change to that starting five, and here's why. This front office came in, and they made one big decision right away. They said, we are going to swing for the fences with our first round pick. We are going to swing and take a guy that a lot of people have never heard of at 18 years old out of France, Bilal Coulibaly. And Bilal's career has been rising, but it has been limited because of injury. There's no doubt about that. But I think you have to put Bilal Coulibaly in the front, in the starting five, in the backcourt with Trae because of his defensive ability. But because, really, you do not want to signal to anybody else that we have given up on him. it's a seniority thing. Not by age, but by when he was selected, right? Keyshawn George was not the 2023 draft. Will Riley was not the 2023 draft. Trey Johnson, not the 2023 draft. I think if you pass up the guy that you drafted in 2023 and take him out of the starting lineup, you're kind of signaling to the rest of the roster that, yeah, we've moved on from him. And I believe that Bilal Coulibaly still has a lot of growth to make in his game, and I think he's now seen who he can become. From watching the New York Knicks' success this postseason, he has to try to become a OG Anunoby. Bilal Coulibaly has to try to become OG Anunoby. And he probably feels like he's close to him defensively. He's got a long way to go offensively. But I think Bilal needs to be in that starting lineup. Here's the other reason why I would take Keyshawn and put him off the bench. Because this past season, we saw Keyshawn George lift his game and become an alpha. He became a leader out there that can lead a rotation. He can lead a lineup. I would like him leading the second unit because he can then be more ball dominant and more in control than when he's going to be kind of put in a corner with Ice Trey, with Anthony Davis, and with AJ. To get the best out of this roster, you might have to leave some talent on the bench. So I'm putting Bilal in my starting lineup, and I fully believe in Bilal's growth. I'm not giving up. He's 21 years old. He's had three full seasons in the NBA, but he hasn't had a 60-game season yet. He hasn't had a 60-game season yet, but you can see the growth. I see the also the his body has gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. I think he's gotten really more control of his footwork as well. I mean, this is a kid, but a kid that I believe will take a big step this season, and I think he needs to be in that starting lineup because of the defense that he brings. And for the first time in almost 10 years, I believe you will have a full 10-man rotation with Wizards with basically no bums. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Happy Saturday, everybody, live and local here on a Saturday, June 27th. The 17-65 Washington Wizards, I believe, will absolutely turn around their team this season, not just in terms of the vibes, but in terms of the wins and losses. And so I see a pathway to this team going from a 17-win team to 42 wins. And really, so there's so much excitement now, right? You've got a brand new roster. You've got the number one overall pick. You've got guys that you brought in that you believe in. But what is success? What should be the benchmark of success for the 2026 season? So John Wall was the number one overall pick in 2010. John Wall was there, the Mother's Day miracle, when Washington gets the number one overall pick. DeBassa joins a team that hasn't won 50 games in the season since 1959, more recently managed only 50 victories over the past three seasons. So, what's his advice? Let's take a listen. Advice from John Wall to AJ DeBassa. He says, embrace the community, be a great leader, be a mentor. And he talked about how if you give to the community, they will give back. And I love that because I think John Wall meant so much to the city, and I'm so glad he's back, that he's around here, that he's working with Howard Men's Basketball, and he's here to see what will happen here in the future. So I'm very excited about what could happen for the Washington Wizards, but what should be the benchmark of success for this team here this upcoming season? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. So benchmark for success? Well, let's welcome in AJ DeBassa to Washington, D.C., what he had to say about the welcoming he got from this fan base.
Mr. Josh Robbins from The Athletic.
AJ, to your left, Josh Robbins from The Athletic. What has stuck out to you about the reception you've received from fans, from the organization over the last 24 hours? And what are you looking forward to learning about the city and region of Washington?
It's been great. Yeah, I had a wild 48 hours. I mean, I got calls from teammates on draft night. I got in yesterday. I met the whole staff. I went to the war room. It was great. I went to Capital One. There was like, I don't know how many people, like 150 people just saying my name. I met the mascot. It was ridiculous. But, I mean, I'm just excited to meet everybody. I'm excited to meet the fan base. So later today at the district debut, it should be great.
I love his excitement to be part of this Wizards fan base, and there's absolutely going to be a lot of excitement moving forward. So what should the benchmark of success be for the 2026 season? And I just mentioned my starting five. It is Trae Young. It is Bilal Coulibaly with his defense, AJ, Anthony Davis, Alex Sarr. And for the first time in a long time, I believe you've got a full 10-man rotation with this Wizards roster that they've put together that gives them ability to not overplay Anthony Davis, not overplay Trae Young, and get those guys injured. You can use that starting five, and then Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, and your backup center could be Felix Okpara, could be Julian Reese, could be Tristan Vucevic. And then you've even got extra players, Justin Champagne, Jameer Watkins, Cam Whitmore. So there's going to be a lot of competition in this roster. I don't think we're going to see much of AJ at Summer League. I really don't want to see much of him. I want one or two games. And then let Trey Johnson be the star. Let Trey Johnson, who didn't have the greatest rookie season, right? He just didn't stay healthy, came into the season a little beat up, right? They said, I think it was a hamstring injury in the offseason or summer camp. And then at 20 years old, he played 42 games. But this is a big offseason for him to grow to really become that sharp shooting threat off the bench that we need. So I really want Trey Johnson to be the star of the Summer League team. But what should be the benchmark of success for the 2026 season? This front office took over in 2023. They stripped down the entire roster. They built it back up. And now you have a little bit of a big three. Trae Young, Anthony Davis, AJ. I don't think there's any excuses anymore. Because if there is, the coach is going to be gone. I think Brian Keefe is the right guy for the job because of the player development. But there's no more excuses. So what's the benchmark of success for this season? I think we need to be above 500. I think there's no doubt this team needs to go above 500. You cannot look at it like, oh, we were a 17-win team last year. Let's just try to get to 25. No, that was 17 wins and 65 losses on purpose. So that doesn't matter at all. This front office here, who's got me excited, and the coaching staff that they put together that they believe in without going out and getting a big-name coach, right, they need to get to 500. 500 should be the benchmark of success. And is that possible? I totally believe so, because 17 wins isn't really the number. I keep saying this. They probably would have won 26 to 28 games last year if they had tried to win, and they got an ultimate weapon with the number one overall pick in AJ Dabonsa. So I'm telling you guys, benchmark of success is 500. That's a 41-41 team or above 500. That's what I need to see in year one with these guys. But you just paid Trae Young $200 million. There's a chance by the end of the summer, you're going to have paid Anthony Davis even more money. 500. That's what this fan base needs to see. And if we make the play-in tournament, I want to see them make the playoffs. If we're the 9th or the 10th seed, I want to see them win a game and get to the playoffs. I believe it's fair. I believe it's a fair benchmark of success. I'm not saying we got to be a top 5 seed. I'm not saying we got to win a playoff series. We've got to hover around 500 and finish the season at 500 or above. If you're below that, that's a failure with Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and AJ. It is. I'm putting pressure on them, but I don't think it's too much. I think we need to see strides. We need to see the young guys develop from the second unit, right? And I'd love to see this team get off to a good start and be able to afford an injury. I'd like to have a plan going into this season with Anthony Davis. Maybe we tell him, look, we're not going to play you back-to-back nights. We're going to do everything to maximize getting 65 games out of you. Kind of like he's Kristaps Porzingis. I don't need AJ Dabonsa to be Rookie of the Year. I need him to be a very good contributor on a team that goes 500 or above. That's what I need for a benchmark of success. If you guys want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. 500. a 500 basketball team in the nation's capital for the first time in a long time. And that would absolutely get people to really start to buy in on what the vision that you're showing us here. It's, all right, you're talking a lot about these talented players that you've drafted, and people love Will Riley, Willie J. Ball, right? We love Keyshawn George. We love all these picks. Well, there's no excuses anymore. You just added the number one overall pick, and you paid two big names. 500. 500, that's the benchmark success in my mind. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll take your calls next on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.